Good morning. We're on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis in the Ein Yaakov Havar on page Kuf Dalid. My Shem Olam Eten Lo Asher Lo Yikaret. Mara asks, what is the pasuk referring to when it says, I will give him a name forever that will not be cut off? Amar Bitanchum Darish Bar Kapara Bitzipori Zes Sefer Daniel Shenikra Al Shemo. This refers to Sefer Daniel, which is called after his name. Gemara asks, Michti, kol mili de Ezra Nehemiah ben Chachal Yamrinu. All the words of Ezra were actually said by Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah were two figures at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Ezra, they're both leaders. And they're both involved in different aspects of rebuilding Yerushalayim and rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. And most of what we call Sefer Ezra was actually said by Nehemiah. Some learn that it means most of the work that Ezra did was completed by Nehemiah. Nehemiah ben Chachalia, my time alo ikre Sefer al Shmei, why does Nehemiah not have a safer, his own safer named after him? Gemara is referring to Gemara in Bava Basra, among other places, which lists the books of Tanakh, and it says, Sidran Shok Tuvim, this is Bava Basra, Daf Yodalad Mabez, the order of the Ksuvim is Rus, V'Sefer Tehillim, V'Iov, U'Mishlei, Kohelet, Shir Shirim, V'Kinot, which is another name for Eicha, Daniel, we got to stare, Ezra, v'divrei yamim. And there's no mention of Nehemiah. And what the Gemara refers to as Ezra, that incidentally is not the order we have them in, but that's a different discussion. But what's referred to here as Ezra includes Nehemiah. Why is that? Amar v'yirmiah bar Abba, v'bnei shechzik tova latzma. Because he took credit for himself. Shneimar zachra li Elokai l'tova, as it says, remember me, my Elohim, for good, as if I deserve goodness because of things I've done. Zimar asked David, Nami meimar amar zachreni Hashem b'rtzon amecha pakdini u'shvatecha. David also said, remember me, Hashem, as seems to be also relying on his own merit. So our answer is David Rachmehu Dekabai. David was asking for Rachmeh. Simple translation is David was davening. We'll have to see, because it seems like Nehemiah was also davening. And what exactly is the distinction Gemara is making? Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, Mivnei Shesiper Bignutan Shel Rishonim. Rav Yosef said it's because he spoke degradingly of his predecessors. Shenamar v'apachot harishonim asher alfanayich bidu ala am v'aychum mehem v'lechem v'yayin achar kesef shkalim arba'im gam nareyam shaltu ala am. It says that the governors who came before me, they taxed the people heavily with bread and wine and also took 40 shkalim from them, and their youth ruled over the nation. And since he spoke in a very general way that included all prior leaders, he was punished for that. Vafal Daniel shegadol mimenu siper, and he included in that Daniel, who was greater than he was. Daniel was one of the prior leaders, and he just made a general statement about the prior leaders. Uminalan degadol mimenu. How do we know that Daniel was greater than Nehemiah? Dichtiv, because it says, "Ra'iti ani Daniel levadia tamar'eh." It says, "I." This is in Daniel, Perek Yod, Pasuk Zayin. I alone saw the vision. V'anashim asher hayu imi lo ra'u et amar'ed. The people who were with me did not see the vision. V'al chardag dula nafla lehem v'yibuchu v'yichaveit. But a great trembling fell upon them, and they ran and hid. U'mayini anashim, who were these people? Am Rabbi Yirmiyah v'yitem Rabbi Chiyah bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, and if you wish, you could say it was Rabbi Chiyah bar Abba. Zechagai Zechariah Malachi. It refers to the prophets Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So Rashi explains. So Gemara is saying that Daniel was greater than Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, who were prophets. Nehemiah was not a prophet. So if Daniel was greater than Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, he was surely greater than Daniel and then Nehemiah. He was surely great. Daniel was surely greater than Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was wrong to speak in a general way of the early leaders. The Sefer Chassidim learns from here that if you see a group of people doing something wrong, okay, and you're criticizing the people, and one of the people in the group is innocent, you shouldn't say, "You did this," because you're just like Nehemiah here is punished for using a general term. Okay. Now, obviously, there are halachas of Lashon Hara too, but we're assuming whatever reason it's not Lashon Hara. It's still wrong to say generally the people in that Ein Yaakov Shir did such and such when one of them is innocent, he wasn't there, and then you're including innocent people with guilty people, and we see here that that's an improper thing to do. A person should be careful not to do that. So Sefer Chassidim learns that in paragraph Tuf Beis, learns that from this Gemara. Okay, let's go back now. So Gemara first learned from a pasuk that Hashem promised Daniel that his Sefer would be named after him, Sefer Daniel, which is named after him. Why would we think Sefer Daniel should not have his Sefer named after him? So commentaries bring a number of reasons. The Chidah in Pesach Einayim says that since Nebuchadnezzar bowed down to Daniel and made him into a god, and there's a pasuk in the Torah says that idols should be destroyed, I might think that, and we saw last time, Daniel is blamed to some degree for not doing more to talk Nebuchadnezzar out of worshiping him. And so I might think that, therefore, Daniel should be destroyed like in Avodah Zarah, and we won't mention his name. So Hashem told him, no, nevertheless, your name, or Hashem didn't tell him, Hashem told the prophet Yeshaya, nevertheless, Daniel's sefer will be named after him. That is the Chidah's explanation. Others explain, Ben Yoyada says that we don't find anywhere that Daniel taught Torah in public. I might think he doesn't have any merit in which to be remembered. I mean, he did other great things, but why should he be remembered as one of the books of Tanakh, the teachers of the Jewish people? So therefore, the Navi is telling me, no, he will be remembered. Alternatively, we discussed in a previous year the fact that sometimes in Tanakh, Daniel is spelled with missing a yud. In Sefer Yechezkel, we find Daniel spelled missing a yud, and that's, again, as a punishment for not doing more to dissuade Nebuchadnezzar from worshiping him. So the Gemara here is saying, nevertheless, his Sefer will be called Daniel with a yud. His full name will be used. And that is from contemporary Sefer. It's called Kol Yisrael, and it's by Rav Shmuel Halevi Haber, who is a contemporary person living in Brooklyn. Okay. So the Gemara then says that Nehemiah, in contrast, will not have the Sefer named after him. Maral says, Midak Neged Mida, because he said he gave himself credit, said, Hashem, remember me for good, as if I'm a great person, I deserve to be remembered. So Midak Neged Mida, we put him down and don't remember him. by not naming his sefer after him. Likewise, according to the second explanation, Maral says, since he put down other people by speaking disparagingly of previous leaders, and saying they overtaxed the people, including innocent leaders who didn't overtax the people. So also we put him down by not remembering him. That is Maral in Chidushei Agados. Sefer called Yad Yosef Al HaTorah by Rav Yosef Tsarfati. Sefer was published for the first time in Shin Ayin Vav. It's 402 years ago. So 400 years ago would be 1616. So, gives you an idea roughly when he lived. Sefer was published for the first time in 1616. So he asks, question that we asked, what's the difference between Nehemiah saying, remember me for good, and David HaMelech saying, remember me? And the Gemara answers, well, David HaMelech was davening. Nehemiah also seemingly was davening. What's the difference between them? So he says, if you look carefully at the language of the Gemara of the Psukim. So Nehemiah said, Zachrali Elokai Litova. Elokim is a name associated with Midas Hadin, with justice. Nehemiah is saying, Hashem, judge me with strict justice, and I'll still come out okay. That's haughty. David said, Zachreni Hashem, Yudke Vavke. That's the name of Rachamim. That's the name associated with mercy.
Exactly. Okay.
And the Gemara says that's David Rachamehu Dikavai. David was requesting Rachamim. He was requesting mercy. That's okay. Okay. So that's the difference. That's the difference between them. That Nehemiah was saying, I can withstand Midas Hadin. I can withstand strict justice. I'm that great. And David was appealing to the Midas HaRachamim. That is the explanation of Yad Yosef. After I saw the Yad Yosef, I also saw the same thing is in the printed in Yaakov's, in the Iyun Yaakov. Same explanation.
The timing aside, that's exactly what we learned about David. It's the lesson he was taught is... it's not on him. It's not. I mean, he needed rachamim. I mean, he exactly didn't say, or he learned not to say, "I can take it."
What do you mean he learned?
In other words, his test, final test with Eishes Ish, was that he shouldn't say, you know, "Bring it on."
Like right. He asked Hashem to test him, and he failed the test. Yeah, that's an interesting association. Now, the truth is, David's Sefer is not named after David either, right? But we know David wrote it. In the Sefer, in Tehillim, it says many times that David wrote it. So we associate it with David. Sefer Nehemiah, you read Sefer Nehemiah, you'll never know who wrote it. So that's the difference for him. And we'll see that distinction in discussion that we'll have shortly about being able to identify the author from the Sefer, whether his name is on it or not. It's going to come up again shortly. But first, the reason why some of you came, you didn't know it yet, but Rav Chaim Vital was the student and scribe of Arizal. Arizal didn't write any of the Sfarim we have in the name of Arizal. They were written by his student, Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital also kept a dream diary. It's called Sefer HaChazyonos. And he would write down the dreams that he would have. Sefer HaChazyonos, the Book of Visions. The Book of Visions. So on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, in the year Shin Lamed Hei, which would be 1574, late 1574, Rosh Hashanah in 1574, Shin Lamed Hei. Chalamti imo Rizal, Shayao Merli. I had a dream that my teacher, the Arizal, who had passed away already, Arizal passed away in 1572, I think. So the Chaim Vital saw the Arizal in the dream, and he told me, Yadata lama yamitzter kokach David HaMelech alav shalom al ben rishon shenolad lo min bat sheva mate. Do you know why David HaMelech mourned so heavily for the first child that he had from bat sheva who died? Bat sheva was the mother of Shlomo HaMelech, but her first pregnancy, the child died shortly after birth. Amartilo, so why? So the Arizal said to Chaim Vital in the stream, do you know why David mourned so heavily? Amartilo eni yode. I told him, I don't know. Amarli yada. So the Arizal told me, you should know. Kiza bein hu nitgalgel harkar b'nechemya hatarashta. This child was later reincarnated in Nechemya. Shaya mizera David, vaya adam gadol, who was from David HaMelech and was very great. Gamda, you should also know, that since this child died before his bris and before he had a name, that's why his book is attached to Ezra and not known by its own name, because he was a Gilgal of somebody who didn't have a name. The Chida points out that the gematria of shame, name, is equal to the gematria of sefer, of book. So that is what the Arizal says. A different explanation than our Gemara gives. Our Gemara is giving pshat explanation, and Arizal is giving a Kabbalistic explanation. It's not the end of the story.
Maybe Uzi's topic. I've been good about getting off topic, but does he have in the dream book about when the Arizal came to him before he started learning with the Arizal? In dream? He came, Arizal came to him in dream, said, where are you? Where are you
coming? I don't remember.
I'd be curious. You can look it up.
There's a sefer from the Mahara, from the Rama, rather, Mipano. Rama Mipano, or Fano. Fano is a city in Italy. And the Ramanachem Azaria Mipano was a student of the Arizal. And he wrote a sefer, among other svarim that he wrote. He's also a posek. But one of the svarim he wrote is called Gilgulei Neshamos. It's an index of Gilgulim. Who's a Gilgul of who? Was a reincarnation of who? So he says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, the sage of the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Kishinasan Nasi, when he was appointed Nasi, he was appointed the president of the Jewish people. Arin and Hatam vibrachot, the Gemara Brachot says, Daf Chavzayin and Mibet, Shua Siril Ezra Vu Kohen Ve'ashir. He was a 10th generation descendant of Ezra. He was a Kohen. And he was very wealthy. Gemara in Brachos doesn't say he was very wealthy, but Gemara elsewhere says he was very extremely wealthy. Hu Gilgul de Ezra, and he was a Gilgul of his 10th generation ancestor Ezra. The Chain Ibn Ezra hu Gilgul Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and the Torah commentator Ibn Ezra is a Gilgul of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. You have to be the Ramah Mipana or the Arizal to know these things. We just take them at face value. Rav Gamliel, and the sage of the Mishnah, the Tana, Rav Gamliel, who was displaced as Nasi by Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. The story there was that Rav Gamliel three times insulted Rabbi Yeshua in public. And the Chachamim mutinied against Rav Gamliel and deposed him and appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria as Nasi instead. Later, Rav Gamliel got his job back. So Rav Gamliel, he says, is a Gilgal of Nechemya. Valki Amar Nechemya Zechar Liel Kaila Tova, because Nechemya said, remember me for good, he relied on his own merit. Nitrad Rav Gamliel Nesiyute Vahid Masei De Brachot. That's also why Rabbi Gamliel was deposed. Kashem Shalom Nikras Sefer Nechemiah Shmo. Just as Nechemiah didn't have his book named after him because he relied on his own merit, it's exactly the same reason that his descendant, Rabbi Gamliel, was deposed from his position. I just might answer your question, but let me. Literally, he seems to be saying that, you know, it's just this neshama was destined to keep losing its position, not to have its book named after him, and then losing his job. It could also be that, I mean, Rabbi Gamliel obviously had reasons why he did what he did. The commentaries, the Reuven Margolios explains at length in one of his books, Yesod HaMishnah V'Arichata, the history of the Mishnah, why Rabbi Gamliel felt it was so important to stand on principle, and three times he humiliated Rabbi Yeshua, and he had a reason. Nevertheless, the fact that he was deposed allows us to say that there was some gaiva in what he did, some haughtiness in what he did, and so maybe it's not just that this neshama was destined to be deposed repeatedly, but the aspect of gaiva that so to speak, in the blood. And does that answer your question? No. Okay.
Question yeah. was.
Then I probably can't answer it. But go ahead.
Gamliel also has to be judged, but then.
Where do you see that?
I'm asking. Did he? That's no. What we said.
I don't.
Was with Nechemiah.
Right. I don't. That was one explanation. I don't know that the Rambam Pano doesn't have to agree with that explanation. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not aware of any such statement by Rabbi Gamliel. The Chida asks a question. Open up a Tanakh nowadays. So it's true, Nehemiah is not counted as one of the 24 books of Tanakh. It's subsumed into Sefer Ezra. But if you open up a Tanakh nowadays, you will see printed at the top of the page, Nehemiah. I checked the art scroll, Tanakh. It says Ezra-Nehemiah in the table of contents. If you look into the table of contents of the stone Tanakh, it says Ezra-Nehemiah. So Chida lived in the 1700s, died in 1806. He says, now that we have printing, all of a sudden, there is a book of Nehemiah. Why is it? And the chapters of Nehemiah that the printers made up, the chapters in Tanakh, they're not a Jewish, except in Tehillim. They're not a Jewish thing. They were made up by non-Jewish printers. Okay. But the numbering starts, Nehemiah 1, 2, 3, 4. So Chida asks, why, on a mystical level, why is that?
Okay.
So he says that perhaps the pain that Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Gilgal of Nehemiah, suffered from being deposed, that cleaned the slate. That was final. And he doesn't say this, but the fact that Rabbi Gamliel later got his job back supports that theory, because the slate was cleaned and Rabbi Gamliel got his job back. Oh, that's the Chida. It's in a... I think it's taken from one of his other Sfarim and printed at the end of his commentary on Sanhedrin, Petach Einayim. So that is what he says. He's saying, you know, we just take it at face value. These aren't the kinds of things you can debate and ask questions about. Which brings us to a question that's discussed, Sfarim. Should a person who publishes a Sefer put his name on the Sefer? So the Rokeach, who is a Rishon, the Rokeach, a German Rishon, writes in the introduction to his Sefer, Rokeach. The word Rokeach literally means pharmacist. And perhaps he was a pharmacist by trade, but he says that he named his Sefer Rokeach, Resh Kuf Chet, because it's the gematria of his name, Elazar. And furthermore, Rokeach, Merkachat Masei Rokeach, the two reishes equals Elazar ben Yehuda. So in the footnote here, they say that perhaps what he means is that the two reishes in Rokeach, Masei Rokeach, the reish is 200, so two reishes is 400, and Elazar ben Yehuda is 395, and then add the 390. Elazar ben Yehuda is 390, and the five letters of Elazar plus the five letters of Yehuda makes 400. We're not sure. That's the editor's theory of what the Rokeach means here. We're not exactly sure. However, he is saying you should at least hint to your name in the title of your sefer, and he says that the Medrash Tana de Beliau starts with the words Vaigaresh, which is the gematria of Tana de Beliau, and there's a sefer called Medrash Tadshei, and starts with the words Tadshei Haaretz Desha, which is the gematria of the author Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. And Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer starts with Miyamalog Vort Hashem, which is the gematria of Eliezer Ben Hurkanus. The Medrash Seder Olam starts with Me Adam Ve'ad Noach, and Me Adam is gematria of Yossi. See, all of these midrashim, the first words have the gematrias of the authors of those midrashim. So he says that this is something in many, many svarim that are written nowadays, they in the introduction, they start out they say, the Rokeach says you should allude to the name, and then they go on and explain how their name is alluded to in the name of the Sefer. And I did this too. My Svarim are called She'ei Bracha, Shin Ayin He, which is taken from the benching for a wedding. The matria of She'ei equals Shlomo, 375. So that is an ancient Jewish tradition. But does a person have to do that? Can a person publish a Sefer anonymously? Now, we learned previously, we had a shiur about this, that if you say Dvar Torah in someone's name, his lips move in the grave. And back in that shiur, we saw four explanations for what does it mean, his lips move in the grave. I could refer you back to that shiur. I saw another explanation in a sefer called Einei Shmuel. So this is in Masechet Bechoros, rather, Daf Lamed Aleph on Beis. He says that when we say that, if you say Dvar Torah in someone's name, his lips move in the grave. So let's say I say I quoted the Chidah, and I elaborated with a comment on the Gemara that was consistent with the Chidah. Right? So I would not have had that thought about the Gemara if I had not seen the Chidah and quoted the Chidah. So when I said that Chiddush of my own, it really was inspired by the Chidah. It's as if the Chidah said it. It's as if the Chidah is still talking. So that is another explanation in addition to the four explanations we had in a previous year. Another explanation for the idea of the lips moving in the grave. He's still talking because we're elaborating. If I give a whole shiur based on a chiddush of Rav Chaim Brisker, okay, it's as if Rav Chaim Brisker is talking to us, and hopefully he'll like what I'm saying in his, you know, based on his shiur. So the question is discussed. There's a sefer called Panim Iros, which I don't have, but it's quoted in the Einei Shmuel and in the Chidah. Chidah, in addition to the sefer I quoted before, Chidah wrote dozens of svarim. One of them is called Shem Hagdolim. It's an encyclopedia of rabbis and books. And when he writes about a sefer called Sefer HaZichronos, he brings a Panim Iros who asked, is it appropriate to publish a sefer anonymously? And first he says, well, maybe not, because we've said if you say Dvar Torah in someone's name, his lips move in the grave. And if the Sefer is published anonymously, how are you going to say it? How are you going to say the Dvar Torah? And Panim Eros rejects that and says, God knows. God knows whose Dvar Torah it was. Why does it have to be said? I don't have to say in the person's name. If I say his Dvar Torah, his lips move in the grave. However you understand lips moving in the grave, that, again, is a different shear. But that can't be a reason you have to publish the Sefer in your own name, because God knows whose lips need to move. He says, the reason why you should publish the Sefer in your own name is so that people will listen to you. Okay. If you, particularly a halacha Sefer, when I buy Svarim, I see a halacha Sefer without published anonymously, I don't want to buy it. I want to know who I'm relying on. Right? Or same thing also, I mean, not just halacha. If it's a Musar Sefer, Musar is Musar. The Chidah says this. You know, Musar is Musar. Musar is good whoever you get it from. You get Musar from your child too sometimes. Right? But if it's deep philosophy, what do Jews believe, or if it's halacha, I want to know who it's coming from. So that's a reason why you should put your name on a sefer, on your sefer. So the Chidah says that based on this, I could understand the pasuk. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Az amarti hine bati b'migilat sefer katuv alai. Then I said, I have come with the scroll of the book written on me, written about me. La'asot esrucha elokai chavatzti. I desired to do your will. Torchav toch me'ai, and your Torah is in my guts. Bisarti tzedek b'kal rav. I announced righteousness in large congregations, and so on. So Chidah says that David is saying, you might have thought that I should have written my Sefer Tehillim anonymously. Again, it doesn't say on the title page that it was written by David, but if you read Tehillim, it's clear it was written by David. Mizmor le David, right? Many times it says it was written by, in the Sefer, it says written by David. You might have argued that I should have written it anonymously. However, you should know that I did it not out of haughtiness, but out of humility. L'asot ritzuncha chafatzti. All I wanted, he says, I came with a book written about me, has full of my name. L'asot ritzuncha elokai chafatzti. I only wanted to do your will. I wrote it so that people would use it. When they saw my name, they would use it, not out of haughtiness. And the proof is that I've devoted my life to spreading your name. So that's how the Chidah explains the pasuk. So the Chidah continues, says, I'll prove to you that you don't need to have the person's name on the Sefer in order for his lips to move in the grave. Most Mishnayos don't have the author's names. Some Mishnayos do, but most don't. Most Brisas in the Gemara don't have anybody's name attached to them. If it was that important, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the author of the Mishnah, would have put a name on every Mishnah. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi understood that the authors of these Mishnayos could get the benefit of having their Torah repeated without having their names mentioned. And then he quotes from the Sefer Chassidim, who points out that most Midrashim, so we saw the Rokeach showed that the Midrashim hint at the names of the authors, but they don't have the authors' names on them for the most part. Some of them do, Mechilta Devei Rabbi Shmuel, I mean, there are some examples that do, but most Midrashim don't have the author's name on the title page. And so you see that it's not necessary. And the Sefer Chassidim says that the enjoyment of having seeing your name on a sefer could take away from your reward in Olam Haba. And therefore, it's good not to write your name. So the Chidah says, so this supports what the Panim Iro says, that the only reason to write your name on the sefer is so that people will accept it. Because if it's to make your lips move in the grave, you see Sefer Hasidim who said that as far as reward in Olam Haba, you're actually better off not having your name in the sefer, because the honor that you get from having your name on a sefer takes away from your reward in Olam Haba. So clearly, having your name on a sefer has nothing to do with making your lips move in the grave. And he says, I'll bring you a proof from our Gemara that you don't have to put your name on a sefer. The other way around. He says, our Gemara says that Nehemiah was punished by not having his name on his sefer. Right? So you see that having your name on a sefer is a good thing. That you the ordinary thing to do is to put your name on the sefer. From the fact that our Gemara says Nehemiah was punished by not having his name on the title page of the sefer. And he says this is the custom nowadays, that people put their names on the sefer, and if somebody doesn't put his name on the title page of his sefer, it actually might be a sign of haughtiness. Right? Everybody else puts their names on the sefer, but I don't. I'm holier than they are. Okay, this is the Chidah says. So we might actually look down on someone who publishes a sefer anonymously. And then finally, he says, you look at Rashi and Tosfos and the Rif and all these early commentaries, you're not going to find anywhere a manuscript that says on the title page, you know, Rashi, commentary on Talmud by Rashi. However, we all know the name. We all know who wrote them. They told their students. They didn't hide it from their students. They told their students, and their students passed it on. So that's the equivalent of having your name on the title page, which gets back to what we said about Tehillim. It's not called Tehillos David, praises of David, but we know from the context and from reading it and from tradition that David wrote it. So that's the equivalent.
If I may, yes. The Rashi and so forth aside for just a moment. Do we hear anything about the notion that it's a suffix, and therefore? Because I'm hearing
what do you mean?
Two different perspectives on whether or not to put your name in
the right. So he does
alluding to your name, maybe as a way of handling a suffix.
That could be. I actually was kind of surprised that the Chidah didn't mention that. I was sort of wondering the same thing, that maybe that's a compromise solution to not put your name, but to hint at your name in the gematria of the title or something like that. The Chidah just says that the widespread custom today is that you do put your name on a sefer. It'll be a schus for you and your children when your name is mentioned, and that to the point, and again, he brings a proof from our Gemara, which says that it was a punishment for Nehemiah that his name's not on his sefer. So you see that the general approach is to put your name on a sefer, to the point that if somebody doesn't, it might even be a sign of haughtiness that he didn't put his name on a sefer. That's how the Chidah comes out. But you're right. I mean, the approach of the Rokeach perhaps could be a compromise that he to allude to your name. And like I said, I was surprised that Chidah didn't mention that, which either means it's wrong, or for some other reason the Chidah didn't mention it. As a story, it's an aside, but there was a great rabbi in the mid-20th century called the Chabina Rav, or Dov Beresh Wiedenfeld. And somebody came to him and said, I have a fantastic chiddush on Gemara. And he told it to the Chabina Rav, and Chabina Rav said, that's excellent. That answers a kasha, the Sefer Ktzos HaChoshen. Sefer Ktzos HaChoshen is one of the classic Lomdish Svarim that is learned in yeshivas. He said, that answers the question of Tzos HaChoshen. It's brilliant. And then he thought about it for a minute. He said, and therefore it's wrong. What you said is wrong. Because if it was right, Tzitzis Choshen would have said it to answer his own question. So, which is, I mean, that's a discussion in itself. The Gemara says that sometimes, Gemara asks sometimes, you know, if an earlier king of Yehuda didn't do something, why the later king do it? The Gemara says, God leaves room for later generations to have things to do also. So a person could possibly think of something that Tzitzis didn't think of, but that's a whole separate discussion. It's an interesting story, though. Anyway, have a good day. The bottom line is Chidasa, the bottom line is just put your name on it. Have a good day.